Okay, let's go to morning session one on the Spirit. I think it's message three, and then shut your cell phones off. Let's read the theme of the morning session with emphasis on the first word, experiencing. Okay, brothers, go. Spirit of power. Okay, sisters. I think the brothers got outnumbered on that one. Let's try the brothers again. Hallelujah. So we've had a lot of sharing on this. Every message hits this. I think by now we're comfortable. How many spirits do we have in us?
One.
How many spirits are there?
One.
But there's a couple aspects of it. Right? One's for life. Essential. Aren't you glad you have life? I was with a man. I'm a therapist. I go to people's homes. Very, very, very wealthy man on his last days. You know what? He didn't care about anything else but life. He wanted life. We want life. But life isn't adequate if we're... Life is adequate if we're just sitting there. But the minute you move, the minute you go to do something, the minute you go to work, there needs to be this other aspect of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of power. Amen. And we're going to see it's not the power you think. It's not a big, powerful man doing powerful things with big biceps. It's a power, all right, but it's a power that raised Christ from the dead. How about that for power? Resurrection power. Actually taking a body that went to Hades and taking it to the third heavens. What a power. But I won't say believe it or not. Believe it. That power is in every one of us. Yet, as anything in the Christian experience, we have to get it. You have not because you ask not. So it's good all the time. Lord, give me the Spirit. Of course He's in us. Of course He's in us. But we want to be filled with Him. And when we say exercise your spirit, it's kind of like your house. Say someone knocks at my door and I say, come on in. And I have him just stand at the threshold. Well, He's in my house. But He's really not in the house. He's not just making His home in my house. So we touch the Spirit. We kind of get in there. But we want to go deeper. That's why we want to be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, inwardly and outwardly, you know what you are? You're normal. You are normal. There's only one normal person in the universe. Jesus. All of us are abnormal. But we're being normalized. Amen. And the more we exercise for the infilling and the outfilling, the more normal we will be. We won't be peculiar. We won't be strange. We won't stick out. But there will be something there that the angels will see and even man will taste. And it's very attractive. Okay, so in this particular line, you notice that the order of these messages, four lines, right? Morning time, spirit, gospel, and the age turners, which is the theme. They're not random. It's not randomly ordered. You can't just wake up the first thing in the morning and go preach the gospel. I mean, you can, but you know what I'm saying? You can't Surely you can't share and live a God-man life without the Spirit. And neither are you going to be an age-turner without spending time with Jesus. So we have this kind of, this is a normal progression. And two verses came to mind this week. Acts 17:6. These men have turned the world upside down. These men. But they were normal men. They were God men. They were age-turning people. But their living turned the world upside down. That's what an age-turner is. An age-turner turns the age. An age-turner turns the age right side up. God's kingdom and God's authority is normal, but it's abnormal now. But the age-turners turn it. And then another verse, Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of the heavens is taken by violence, and violent men seize it. Amen. That doesn't mean you're physically violent with people. The violent man, you're violent with yourself. The self. We have to be violent with ourselves. We don't want to call. We don't want to breathe. We don't want to pray. We don't want to touch, pray, read. We have to be violent against that. Stand against that. So these are the people and the life of people that turn the age. Okay, so let's go to the outline. Let's have everybody read Romans 1. Okay, A. Amen. So there it is. Landmark experience. Pentecost. And the brothers have shared. I think you follow it. You see that in Acts 2:1-4. And as the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, they were all together in the same place. And suddenly there was a sound out of heaven as of a rushing violent wind. And it filled the whole house. That house there is not your physical dwelling. It's just like someone says, how's your house doing? You don't say, well, the refrigerator's great or the faucet's terrific. They're referring to people. So when it says, fill the house, it filled the people. You got it? Where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire. So, as of a violent rushing wind, tongues as of fire, which were distributed, and it sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak. Well, they already were praying for 10 days, so they were speaking. The speaking brought in the Spirit. And then once the Spirit came upon them, they just continued to speak. Here's the secret. Speaking brings in the Spirit. Speaking brings in the essential Spirit and the economical Spirit. We have to speak. I don't mean to people. We just need to talk. We need to speak. Speak, 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 speak. Amen. I'll get to that in a little bit. They began to speak in different tongues, even as the Spirit gave them to speak forth. Not funny, I don't know. We were brought up in the 70s. There was a lot of tongue speaking going on then. And I don't mean that type of, I don't know if you've been around tongues. Most of you haven't. But I had someone try to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. They called that the gift of the Holy Spirit. They called it the second blessing. And if you were a born-again believer, you had to have the second blessing of tongue speaking. That's where you kind of rattle some words. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you say some things. I just got born again. The brothers preached the gospel to me on a Friday. I came into the church on a Saturday. All I knew was, Lord Jesus, I love you. But I got invited the next week to a Pentecostal meeting, which I didn't know what Pentecostal was. So I went there and I'm sitting in, there's about 200, 150 people. I'm sitting there and the pastor says, "We have a guest visiting us today." I think, "Oh, this is great." And they call my name. And they have me come to the stage in front of all these people. I'm 1 week old. I mean, this is intimidating here. Imagine just a week old. And he's going to give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's going to have me speak in tongues. So he put his hand on my head. He said, "You know, loose your tongue. Loose your tongue." So he said, "You need to speak in tongues." I said, "Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you." And he was getting really upset because it was messing up the whole performance. And so he brought in a couple big guns, big, really big brothers. And they got behind me and they laid me back at a 45, right? I'm a week old. I came to a meeting with the person who invited me and I'm on stage to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which I already got a week ago. We get it all. Anyways, he came. So I'm leaning back. He's got his hand on my head. And he keeps saying, "Loose your tongue." And I keep saying, "Lord Jesus, I love you." You know what he said? He said, "The Lord knows you love him. Loose your tongue. Lord Jesus, I love you." He was disgusted. And I was embarrassed. So I went off. I was a failure. And I ruined his whole performance. Those aren't the tongues we're talking about. Dialectos. They spoke in dialects. There were people from all around the world. And they spoke in that dialect. It was a miracle. But it wasn't funny stuff. Well, to say the least, I didn't join that group. But you know, 1 week with the brothers was enough to say, "Lord Jesus, I love you." Isn't that awesome? Amen. Okay, listen. They were on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit fell. This, I got a revelation on this. So I want to share this as I was preparing. I got two revelations. I want to release it. They're not new. They're just new to me. Okay, they were in the upper room. What were they doing in the upper room? How many days? The Spirit, as a landmark movement, did not come to them at the Lord's table. It didn't come on them at a ministry meeting. And it didn't come on them at a home meeting. Where did it come? At the prayer meeting! The economical spirit you learn to practice at the prayer meeting. That's where the Spirit is. That's where we learn. We know we're learning to turn to our spirit. We're learning to take Christ as life. It's at the prayer meeting that the Spirit came. You know, the first meeting I went to, you would never invite someone to a prayer meeting. I went to a prayer meeting of the church in San Diego. That's strange. And I went in there. I was a good Catholic boy like Marty. Well, I wasn't good. Anyways, it's Catholic. We don't pray out loud. You got to understand it. It took me 6 months to pray. 6 months. I remember driving in my car praying out loud. I said, "This is really strange. We never did this before." But I went in that meeting. It was filled with college-age people. It was just filled with college-age people and older people, community people. But when they prayed, I had never seen this before. First they shouted. And some of the sisters were radical. No, really. First, I never seen this. It was exciting. It was neat. And then, you know, they weren't asking God, "Oh, Father, Aunt Betty, Father, her gallbladder is not feeling good right now. Father, heal Aunt Betty." No. They were praying for people to be saved. They were telling God, that was another thing. They were telling God what to do. No one told, you don't tell God what to do. Unless you have the economical spirit.
Amen.
Lord, you have to save him.
Amen.
The gospel meeting's tonight. You have to save him tonight.
Amen.
Saturday. So listen to this. You know, we sat in three concentric circles. And I sat in the back. My first meeting. I sit in front. Oh, I'm sitting in the back of the third row, and right across on the third row on the other side, a sister stands up. And she prays one line. Da 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 da. And then the sister next to her stands up and prays one line. Da 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 da. And then the sister next to her stands up and prays one line. And then a brother stands up. Now, we're getting into the curve, right? I'm sitting, it's coming to me. It's coming to me. I don't pray. This was only 3 weeks after I'm born again. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I was really in anxiety. And the line kept coming. And I had nothing to say. But by God's mercy, a sister about 5 seats in front of me stood up and said, I got a shotgun spirit! I like that. To this day, I don't know what a shotgun spirit is. But I said, I'm going to say that. So I stood up. I wasn't that exercise. You know, I got a shotgun spirit. Amen! Everybody supported me. You support everybody in the meeting when they stand up? You know, it's intimidating for a new one to stand up. And some of the saints, only three say amen. Amen. But if everybody said amen, you know what happened that night? I felt really good. I felt really good because I prayed and everybody supported me. That's all. You know why we don't bring people to our prayer meetings? I don't know totally why. But there's no college students at a lot of them. So you bring a college kid and he sees a bunch of people like me, it's intimidating. So I got to call out to the, I'm going to call out the age turners today. I'm ashamed to tell you, but we've been in a trend for about 2 decades, maybe 2.5 decades regarding the prayer meeting. And that's a trend down regarding the college age. All of us brothers, you see, you know, we all got saved as teenagers, almost every one of us. We were no different than any of the people on campus. But we didn't. The prayer meeting was just, everybody was there. There was no one to call up and do something with because they were at the prayer meeting. I think I'll call this brother. I'm at the prayer meeting. Well, we didn't have phones back then. Cell phones. They'll use dial phones. Will you break the trend? Freshmen, will you break the trend? We've been working on this in San Diego for years and years and years. It ebbs and flows. It mainly ebbs. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I don't know how to do this. But the prayer meeting is where the economical spirit comes. That's where you learn to pray. And the second revelation, Tom, you're going to like this, brother. I thought of you. What were they praying? Or how did they pray for the 10 days. Do you think you could pray? Of course, they ate lunch. They weren't weird or strange. They ate. They wouldn't fast 10 days. That'd be stupid. They ate, took a break, took rest. But how would you pray for 10 days? You know how they did it? They pray read. That's the revelation I got. Now I'm going to show you how I prove that. Because Acts 1:14 says, These all continued steadfastly with one accord in prayer together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, Mary, if you read Luke 1, when the Spirit conceived in Mary's womb, she, I don't know, maybe five or six verses, I don't remember. She echoed a praise by memory. And guess what it was? The Word of God. She was soaked with the Old Testament. That was the word back then. She was pickled. So when she praised, the Word came out. You could only do that by praying the Word. And then Joshua 1:8 says, the Word shall not depart from you. You shall meditate on it day and night. That word meditate is hagai. Eat it. Chew it like a cow eats grass and then regurgitates it. And eats it again, then regurgitates it. We need to regurgitate the Word. That's called pray reading. They had to. Then you go to Acts 4, when the brothers were in prison. How did the church pray? They said, oh, Jehovah, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Psalm 2. They just pray read. Their prayer was the Word. Their prayer was the Word. Isn't that with us? How about when we say, oh, Lord, strengthen Bill with power into his inner man. That's the Word. That's pray reading the Word. I have a lot, you know, pray reading is a horse I like to ride. I kind of wish I could spend the whole hour on pray reading. But I want to spend a couple more minutes on it because the brothers have tapped it. It's not a form. It's not a ritual. But it's a skill. And it's not required for salvation. It's not an item of the faith. But it's a skill that we develop over time. We get better and better and better and better at it. We never reach a nirvana. Because in pray reading, we're contacting God! You have to learn to pray read. You know, it's not an item of the faith. You don't have to pray read to believe in Jesus. But if you want to be an age turner, you have to pray the Word of God. You have to learn it. And if you don't know, get around people that do. You know, if you don't have much of an appetite, you got to get around people that like to eat. God gave me a wife that loves to eat. And when she eats, you know, I like eating. Everybody loves eating. I like eating. And I sit down, I eat, read something, talk a little bit. But this woman, when she eats, she gets locked in. You know, watermelon? I like to get the watermelon. Then you take you cut around the rind. You take your knife and checkerboard, right? You take your fork. The way my wife eats watermelon, first of all, she grabs it and breaks it right in half. First thing she does. Then she bites into it, but she doesn't bite in and chew. She bites in and slurps. And at that point, if it's a good melon, her eyes roll up like this. And you know she's locked in when the watermelon juice. I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes I have to unlock her. Honey! The shoulders lean over. And she goes, oh, this is the best watermelon I've ever had. If you don't know how to eat, come to my house. I mean, if you don't have an appetite, come to my house. Hang around her for a couple of days. That's how you pray read. Every word. This is for real. I'm giving you illustrations because it's for real. I had a dog, black lab. All dogs love bones. We would give him the big beef bones. Sometimes we'd go out. He would be so happy. He'd run out. And I go out the next day. I find the bone. Now, the bone was cooked in barbecue sauce, so it stained all the way through the bone. And I find the bone, and it's pure white. It's bone white. How did that happen? All the meat's gone, I understand. But there's no more sauce in that bone. But the bone's intact. Then I go out the next day in midnight. What is he doing? He's working on that bone. Working on it. And then he cracks it. And then he sucks the marrow right out. That's prayer reading. That's how you pray read. Crack the bone. You get it. No, it's true. You know, there's a proverb. Solomon said, it's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. You want to be a dead lion? Hey, brother, you're a lion. Rawr! But you don't pray read. You're dead. But all the dogs are pray reading. Just like the black lab. Getting it. You have to practice it. The brothers already hit it. Ricky hit it. Tom hit it. One word sometimes you'll be on. And you'll just... you'll milk that. You say, but, you know, I have pray read John 1:1. I honestly, about 500 times, easily 600 times in my Christian life. But how come every time I pray read, I get infiltrated with the triune God? Because the Spirit's embedded in the Word. The Spirit is, what was the word we use? Embodied in the Word. So you don't get the black and white letter, you get the Spirit. And the Spirit is the consummated triune God. Amen. You have to practice it alone, but it's awkward. So you got to get in your twos and threes. In our prayer meeting now in San Diego, the first half hour is prayer reading. You wonder, what are you going to pray for? Well, I don't know. We pray for a half hour after that, but everybody's happy. And when we pray, we are really praying because we are filled with the Spirit. We don't have to pray that much for something. Because everybody's exercised. So break the trend, right? I mean, exhortation doesn't mean a whole lot. But if you're serious about being involved in this, you have to pray read God's Word. Okay. The promise of power, which is recorded in Luke and in his Gospels and in Acts, is fulfilled in Acts 2. Luke speaks of power. Spirit of power. Okay, how about the brothers stand up and read Romans 2? Amen. Sisters, stand and say and read 8. So we've covered this quite a bit in the other messages. B says, in the Lord's ascension, the Spirit of ascension power poured out upon the disciples. It's symbolized by the rushing, violent wind. And the disciples' ministry, for the disciples' ministry, and moved economically. What happened on the day of resurrection in John 22? Those brothers were so scared. They were meeting in that room. They were scared that, I think they were scared for their life because of what happened. The Lord was crucified. They were after everybody who was involved with the Lord. And then the Lord walks through the door. Just think at that time if he came as a rushing, violent wind. He didn't come as a rushing, but he came as breath. It says, I think he said, peace be to you. And then he breathed into them. Did you get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation today? Actually, that was mouth-to-nose resuscitation. He breathed in them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 2, it wasn't for that. Now they're moving. The landmark came. The change came. Okay, from this point on, they're turning the world upside down. So you need wind for that. You need something powerful. To go on the gospel by yourself is one thing. To go on with one or two people is a totally different, right? When you pray with a couple brothers or a couple sisters before you go out, even though it's not long, You feel different. You feel a little more clothed. I kind of thought of, I'm not a physics major by all means, but I did think of potential and kinetic energy. So you have a pendulum, a lead ball, pull the ball back, and when it's held in position, static, that's potential energy. That's the essential spirit. But when you let go of the ball, that's kinetic energy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that means. But if the spirit just stays in you, it's potential. The minute the spirit comes out of you, it's kinetic. And it's kinetized by speaking. In preaching the gospel, authority and power are needed, so clothing represents authority. We've covered that. We're going to hit a little bit at the end. Let me see. And the rushing, violent wind represents power. D, I want to spend some time on D. The release of the Spirit leads us to the outpouring of the Spirit. All week long, brothers, release your spirit! You hear the brothers, exercise your spirit. You know, I spent years on this phrase. Eventually, I just gave up. I kept figuring, what's it to exercise your spirit? You just do it. To exercise your spirit is to pray. To exercise your legs is to walk. To exercise your eyes is to open your eyelids. And to exercise your spirit is just to pray. The minute you pray, your spirit's exercised. But there's degrees, right? Sometimes we just say, you don't say, oh, Lord Jesus, and you're endued with power. You just got in the door. Now you got to spend a little time. You got to spend a little time. You got to pray, read a verse, confess, and get filled in the Spirit. That's how we release our spirit for the outpouring. We need to pray by exercising our spirit. The only thing worse than seeing a college kid finally get to the prayer meeting. You know, I'm in a prayer meeting, and I see the college age. I really get excited. But then the only thing worse than that is what? Not praying. They finally got the body there. I mean, it took an act of God to get the body to that place. And the body's there, and they never pray. It's almost like meaningless. You have to pray something. You have to pray something. Pray shotgun spirit. Just say something. Follow the saint. When the saint says, Lord, we're tired of being in ourselves. We need you. Then you should say, Lord, I also am tired of being in myself. I need you. I guarantee you, you'll be a different person. That's all you pray the whole night. You'll be different. You have to exercise your spirit to release the spirit. Exercise your spirit, brothers. You know, I love that phrase. That was very common among us. Sometimes we stand up, say something, everything is doctrinally correct. You know, my wife is really good at this. Sometimes I'll share a closing word and I'll say, how do you think it went? And she'll say, well, everything your point you said was absolutely spot on, but you never exercised your spirit. Hallelujah for our wives. Lord, give all the brothers a wife like that. You don't be cheated. You don't hear, oh, that was a wonderful message. When it wasn't wonderful. No exercise of the Spirit. Everything was theologically accurate. We don't want that. Look at this. Wow, I just saw this word. I didn't see that. If we do not exercise our spirit, the Holy Spirit is locked. We need to get locked in, not lock Him out. Locked and imprisoned inside our being. 1 Thessalonians, we hit some of those verses, 5, 16 through 7. Oh, listen to this. Always rejoice. What's the next one? And then what? Four. And then we like to sing that, right? Brother Bill had to sing that. But that section doesn't end with that. What's the next verse? Do not quench the Spirit. Amen. You know what quench means? It means there's a fire there and you just iced it. We quench other spirit. Finally, that sister has enough courage to stand up. She's been with us 2 years. She stands up and says a little thing and no one says amen. We just took our ice water. She just sits in her chair, sizzling. Think about other people. We don't say amen if they say something that's wrong in the sense of, bad. I'm not going to say amen. They'll learn that lesson. But if they say something, shouldn't we say amen? No, that's very biblical. We don't have a lot of time to get into that. We need the amen. We need to release him. We don't want to quench the Spirit. Talking quenches the Spirit. You know, I've often been amazed at this. Particularly with girls. We'll call them sisters. A lot of them don't share in the meetings. They don't share in the home meeting, let alone a bigger meeting. But I've noticed them. They could talk on the phone. And I know, because I've seen it. 2 hours straight. 3 hours straight. It's coming still, because I've seen it. 4 hours straight, and I'm going to top it off. One sister. 5 hours! What can you talk about for 5 hours? You can't even talk about Jesus for 5 hours. Hey, why don't you just stand up and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. 5 hours on the phone. You know what she just did? She quenched her spirit. If she had stood up and said, Lord Jesus, I'm in utter need of you and I love you, she would fan into flame. Hey, there's a verse, Timothy, 2 Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Fan it. What do flames need? They need air. Anyways, you know there's only one way to escape speaking 5 hours on the phone. Pray, read the Word. When you pray, read the Word, the Spirit will touch you. And the Spirit will say, I think that's enough. 4 hours is enough. And you pray, read a little bit more. A couple hours, that's enough. Eventually, you'll be on for 5 minutes and Spirit will say, okay, that's enough. 168 hours in a week. 1 hour at the prayer meeting. 1/168th of your day, of your week, you could spend it in the prayer meeting. You know, the students, I've talked to some, but I got 9 units this semester. Wow, 9 units. Well, you must be working 30 hours a week. No, I don't have a job. So you got 9 units with no job. Translated, you got a lot of time. But you know what I love? I love our brothers. We have a medical school in San Diego. And all my dear brothers, the med students are in the prayer meeting. They got more work than you do with your 9 units. But you know how they come to the prayer meeting at 7:30? They arrive at 7:29. And they leave at 8:30. We don't expect them to hang around and talk and shoot the breeze. They can't. But they spent that 60 minutes. And that's an encouragement to all of the other students. Unlock the Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, there's no problem. We need to pray by exercising our spirit so that the Holy Spirit may be released. Take every opportunity to exercise your spirit. If you could walk on campus, you know, only dead fish follow the stream. Don't be a dead fish. Don't walk on campus like everybody else walks. Exercise your spirit. Even in your walking, you should exercise your spirit. Even the way you shake hands is different from other people. The way you speak is different. Don't be afraid to speak. We have the authority on us. Okay, the release of the Spirit will usher us into a participation in the outpouring of the Spirit of power. The outpouring of the Spirit of power as the power from on high and as the dynamic impact is for preaching the gospel and ministering Christ to others. Okay, all of us together on Romans 3. Hallelujah. Now it's the Spirit. First it was the Spirit as the wind, the power. Now it's fire. What does fire do? Yeah, it burns, but ultimately what does it do? It just levels everything. It consumes everything. Actually, there's a verse in Hebrews. Our God is a consuming fire. Yeah, all those things in you that you're having trouble with, the minute you pray read, the fire will come. We spent decades telling young people about this and that and all the activities. The minute they start pray reading, those things start to change. Forget about everything else. The fire will burn in us. And we get to, haven't you been burned by saints before? Oh my goodness, I've been burned so many times. Not because they called me to the carpet, but they were burning in their spirit. Well, I don't know if whether to use this name or not because he's here. Anyways, there's a brother in L.A. My kid went to school there one day, one year. He lived in the brother's house. So I picked him up in San Diego from the train station. He came home for the first time. First thing he says, hey, Nick, how you doing? First thing he says is, when I talk to that brother, he looks right through me. Yeah, that's right. Because that brother's got burning eyes. He's burning in his spirit. So when you contact him, you get burned. I didn't spend much time with Brother Lee. Just a little. These brothers spent a lot of time. The worst thing that could happen to you when you were in a conference with Brother Lee is that he made eye contact with you. It was all over. You know, if he wasn't looking at you, the minute he looked at you, he said, hey, brother. You know, your whole past went before you. Like, in an instant. Why? Because this brother was absolutely burning in his spirit. And God burned out everything that was non-God inside of him. So it wasn't him, it was the Spirit. Let us say Revelation, the seven eyes of the Lamb were like burning flames of fire. I've been burned, and maybe I've burned others. You don't know it. The people that are burned, the people that are burning don't try to burn others. They just live. You see it? You don't get up, I'm going to go burn that brother. You just come out. You could come out of morning revival, and be shining. And that brother will be burned about something. Maybe you make your bed that day. That'll burn the other brother. I don't want to go there. Fire overrides everything. Brother Scott said that yesterday. Oh, Lord. This outpouring of the Spirit as fire was predicted by the Lord. Oh, listen to this verse. Listen to this verse. I came to cast fire on the earth. And how I wish that it were already kindled. Fire is God Himself. It's the impulse of the spiritual life. When He was baptized. You know what fire does? The reason why we have so many problems in Southern California with fires is that we put them out too fast. And then if there's a little fire, woo, 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 woo. The problem with that is that all the underbrush, fire is good. Not good for houses, but it's good for nature. Because it kills all the infections. And then it releases, you know, the acorns, the trees, are released by fire. The life inside the corn, the shell, is released by fire. The more we're burning in spirit, the impulse of life is released out of us. Everyone who is called by God must realize that he is a thorn bush with fire burning within him, and that this fire is God Himself. Amen. Well, we talked about that a lot. The thorn bush is a redeemed sinner. And the fire is God Himself as the Spirit. None of us can do any of this. You know, the first message on the Nazarite vow, what was your first thought when you read the 4 points? I can't do this. Of course you can't do this. We're not supposed to do this. We're supposed to allow the fire to burn in us. When the fire is burning in you, you won't participate in a worldly pleasure. When the fire is burning in you, you'll submit and have proper submission. When the fire, you won't even try. You know, someone asked my wife after about 5 years of marriage, hey, how do you submit to your husband? She looked at him. I never thought about it. I just pray the word. That's basically what she said. You just release your spirit and you submit. Submission is a byproduct. It's not an activity. It's a byproduct of being filled in the Spirit. And how do you not touch death? By burning. The fire burns the death. Fires. The triune God is burning within and upon humanity. So day by day, how often? How about today? And on many occasions, we need to offer ourselves to Christ, offer ourselves in Christ to God as a continual burnt offering to be burned by Him. But we don't have time for the burnt offering, but it's an awesome point. It's basically one of the offerings that I think the only offering the priest didn't eat. It was exclusively for God and everything got burned up. They took a ram or a ox. The whole thing got burned up. Well, the only one that could do that is Christ. He's the only one that lived the life of God. But how about John 6:57? As the living Father sent me. Okay, hold on to this one. This is good. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. Here's the word. So, he who eats me. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father by eating Him, so he who eats me shall live because of me. Amen. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Man doesn't live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You got it? Eating Jesus. Encompassed in all that is calling, pray, reading. Eating Jesus is the way that we can offer ourselves to God, you know, continually and acceptably. No, there's no other way. Okay, let's go to Romans 4. You all read that real quick. We spend a lot of time on this. We need to put the spirit of power on as a uniform. You know, some of you go to campus in your underwear. You're not clothed. You don't have your loins girded. You're not covered with Christ. You just got to go around. No one's going to pay attention to you. We got to clothe ourselves with the uniform. It's the authority. Christ has been enthroned and given authority, given the lordship and authority in heaven and on earth. How about this verse? All authority. Well, actually, man doesn't have authority. Authority is not given to men. It's only given to one man. The man. He has the authority. But he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. So we go in Christ, clothed with Christ, that's our authority. Okay? You know the examples of the policemen. I want to give you a couple practical experiences I've had with the uniform. You know, one of my favorite things to see are these female policemen. It's really embarrassing to get pulled over by a female policeman if you're a guy. It's really bad. But one of the best scenes is this: the female, 5'5", 125 pounds, dripping wet. You know, it's got the taser here.
got the six shooter here. And she's got some big burly guys pulled off on the road. And she tells them, "You go sit at the curb." Talk about authority. If she was there in her dining dress and she said, "Hey, sit over by the curb," they wouldn't even pay attention to her. See, when you have authority, you could say things. You could say things that you couldn't think before. You would never have the capacity for. I was in college, and I had a godless professor. And he always cursed the name of Jesus. Why that name? He made it known that he was godless, and he always cursed the Lord's name. So one day, I decided to wait for him after class, and I walked him to his car. And I told him, "You know, that name that you swear is really precious to me. That's the name of Jesus, my Savior. And I love him. Do you think I could do that in myself?" I was clothed with power when I talked to that professor. I didn't get a good grade. I don't know if that was why. I could really care less at that point. You see that? Can you talk to your professor? You think about that, it's almost unbelievable, right? But when you're filled in the Spirit, and you're clothed, and you're in the body, and it's the real situation, why can't you say something? I didn't challenge him to do anything else. I just wanted to let him know. Hallelujah for the authority. And I want to tell you one quick story as I close this. Oh, shoot. Well, anyways, I think I could do it in a zip file. My father-in-law is 6'4", 280-pound ex-cop, and he's from Brooklyn. So you got an idea? And we were at he showed up somehow at a lunch with some saints. He's not in the church. He knew about Jesus because his daughters are in the church, and his wife. We're sitting there, and in this lunch is another sister. She's Chinese. She had polio from 2 years old. So she's been an invalid in a wheelchair for her whole life. And she's uneducated. So she doesn't speak. She speaks broken English anyways, and grammatically it's not too good. Got the picture? We're sitting around talking about nonsense things. Out of nowhere, this sister says to my father-in-law, out of nowhere, "Steve, you need to get baptized." I almost had a heart attack. You don't know who you're talking to. I mean, it was so sudden. "You need to get baptized." You know what my father-in-law said? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He said, "I have a swimsuit in my trunk of my car." That's authority. This sister was soaked with Jesus. She was a crazy lover of Jesus. She wasn't educated. She didn't know any part of the truth. But she had the authority. You know what she said to him? "Go get it right now." This is a true story. My father-in-law. We go into this jacuzzi. They want me to baptize him. This jacuzzi is like 120 degrees. And we're in there, and the saints kept praying and praying and praying. I said, let's baptize Dad. Put him in. He came out giddy. Giddy. This is the big cop from Brooklyn. He was giddy, smiling, laughing, happy. That's authority. It's not what you think of being a big, dynamic brother or speaker. Unbelievable. Okay, I got 1 minute. So I'm just going to read through. I'm sorry about that. The practical ways to experience the Spirit of power. Repent and deal with sins. We've covered a lot of these things. Believe. Believe that you have the baptism in the Spirit. It's an accomplished by the Lord, and it's on the church. And obey the Spirit. When we obey the Spirit, we have boldness. This is true. When we obey the Lord, we have boldness to speak.
If we don't obey the Lord, we're very timid. Pray with one accord. Pray. Pray to receive the outward filling of the Spirit. There is the need for much individual prayer, as well as prayer in one accord with those who pursue together. Okay, now for this last, we're going to have you pray. Well, let me read this. Okay, you see, there's no need to beg for the outward filling. All we need to do is to rise, to answer God's call, commit ourselves to the Lord, and tell Him, Lord, let's read it together. Lord, okay, what I want you to do, pray by two, but use this prayer in kind of a brisk pray reading. Paraphrase it. Use that prayer with your partner to pray a phrase back and forth, okay? 2 minutes.